Welcome to Speak It On. This program is designed for the edification and entertainment of the listeners and not designed to be representative of a church, nonprofit organization, or denomination. Opinions expressed are solely those of the host. Hey, welcome back. And as always, thank you for listening. And please don't forget that Speak It On has a Patreon page. Anything you can do to help this ministry would be very appreciated. Today, let's talk about teaching yourself. Can you teach yourself? And a lot of times you'll hear, you know, that person, they're self-taught. Sometimes you'll hear people, you know, concerning instruments, they'll say, you know, that person's self-taught. Can you self-teach yourself the Bible? Now, a lot of advocates would say, well, of course you can. Of course you can. Paul spent a couple of years out in the wilderness with the Holy Spirit, and just him and the Holy Spirit. That's true. However, they usually don't also get into the fact that before he did all that, he was a Pharisee, which meant he spent a ton of time with teachers, not the least of which was Gamaliel, who was the, I think, grandson of Hillel, which means he had a first class, Harvard, Cambridge level education in the Bible and his faith. So, it's interesting. Self-taught. I look at self-taught kind of like self-help. Not a big believer in self-help, but it's, I think sometimes you might be just getting caught up in terminology because, for example, if you're drowning, you can't help yourself. I guess you could if something came by, maybe a piece of wood, but for the most part, if you're drowning, you're going to drown without additional help. I'm into God help. That's what I'm into. Because I believe that if we reach out to Him, He reaches out to us, and He does help. Now, let's talk about self-teaching. I believe strongly that it's important to get as much education as you possibly can, especially on the Bible. All right. Now, if you want to approach a home seminary kind of thought process, the first thing I would always encourage someone to do is to find a distance program at a seminary that you feel a connection with. And there's a bunch of them. You're going to find that they have different levels of teaching. So you've got a diploma and a certificate and a bachelor's degree, master's degree, doctorate degree, all that fun stuff. You can get all that online. And not that that's a bad thing. But a lot of times people don't choose to get in an organized let me back up from the word organized. Preset. Yeah. A preset study system, because literally that's what you're doing when you sign up for a bachelor's degree at a college, university, seminary, whatever. You're signing up for a preset system because they have it worked out. They say, okay, you're going to take this class and this class, then you're going to take this class, and you got to take this class before this class because this class makes no sense unless you take this class first. And they do it that way. Nothing the matter with that. Been that way for centuries. So here's the thing. When you do self-teaching, or you're going to get yourself, you're going to be self-taught, all right, there are some things you really need to consider. And they work in this fashion. I'm a strong believer in biblical studies first. And what is that? That is learning as much as you can about the Bible itself. How is it put together? How did the verses come to be? How did the chapters come to be? Who are the people that wrote each book? What's about? And why is it the Old Testament and the New Testament? What are the prison epistles? What are the pastoral epistles? You know, finding out as much about the Bible itself, because, listen, that's foundational. That is foundational. Then, would strongly encourage, the next thing to get into would be the languages. People ignore, unfortunately, the biblical languages a lot of times. Because they say, well, you know, I really don't need them. I'm not going to be doing this. I think every believer needs those things. And you may be going, well, that's weird. Why in the world, LA, do you think everyone needs to know biblical Hebrew and Greek? That makes no sense. Part of it has to do with the fact that a lot of interpretation that people get, all right, from the Bible, some of the weird junk is because they don't understand the original language. Because, and the reason I say the languages are also important is due to a secondary element, and that is the culture. The culture of the people in the language. When you get into Hebrew, when you get into Greek, you get into the Greek culture, you get into the Hebrew culture, you learn more about the people. When you learn more about the people, you learn more about context. When you learn more about context, you all of a sudden become sharper at telling, okay, this passage is referring to this, and this, and this, and this. For example, when Jesus says you need to go the extra mile in the New Testament, what's he talking about, the extra mile? It makes no blooming sense. Extra mile what? That's because, at the time, a Roman soldier could enlist someone who they were, if they occupied a country, they could just grab a citizen to carry their stuff. But they could only do that for so many miles. And what Jesus was saying is, look, don't do just the miles that they want, do an extra mile. Well, that's culture. And you don't know that unless you know the culture. And so learning that is super important. So here's what I'm saying. Biblical studies first. Languages, culture. And I would even go so far as to say archaeology. And I add that one. And the reason I do is because in the archaeology, I would tag on the very end. Why is that? Because you really, really, really need a grasp and a firm understanding of the Bible itself, the culture and the language, to make sense of the archaeology. Because there's some weird archaeologists out there as well. I mean, there's some really, you know, people with crazy interpretations of what the record is saying. So you really have to, if you're going to evaluate that and look at it, you know, but that stuff is really good to know. Now, how do you get all that online if you're going to do that? Well, obviously you can get it through books. Unfortunately, books are not a pass medium, but you know, people don't read as much as they used to. That's sad. But at least in the West, and we read quite a bit of stuff off of YouTube and the phone and what have you. Not a lot of jazz going on in the library sometimes, but important, super important. So you can get it out of books, but you can also get it online. Now, what do I mean online? Well, there are free programs online. There's sites that you can go to. Now, I'm going to give you two examples, all right? And they do not endorse me. They do not give me any connection. They don't even know me. But I've used these sources, and I like them. I don't use everything in these sources, but I do like them. One is, it's called Biblical E-Learning. Now, this is a good question. Okay, all right, Ellie, why do you like them? I like them because they tell you about the professors and the class and where the professors are teaching and where, and the background that the professors came from. So you can look at that and you can say, okay, well, and you can look up the seminaries and the institutions they went to and look up what normally people study. Now it changes over time, but you can kind of get an idea. Okay, that person probably thinks this a little bit, you know, based on this. You know, you can kind of get a feel for the conservative versus liberal spectrum of an individual. So you kind of know in your brain how to gauge it. But super good resource. The other one, and this is, again, is just an example, is Biblical Training. It's biblicaltraining.org. In fact, the first one was biblicalelearning.org. Now, again, don't have any connection with these groups at all. They don't even know me. So here's the thing. They offer a lot of free things. A lot of things you can download, a lot of classes you can see online, you can try some stuff. Now, they also offer certificates, all right, where you can pay them money and then they will let you take a block or a set of courses and they will give you a certificate. A certificate or diploma or something of that nature. Personally, I don't see anything negative about that. Now, this is just a call on, you know, my thing. If I'm going to, and this is because I've already got 2 degrees, okay? If I was going to do that myself, I would probably do that through a seminary where I could get credit. All right. And by college credit, I mean actual credit where I could transfer it or something of that nature. There's nothing the matter with a non-accredited course, though. I have to emphasize that. There are some fantastic sources that are not accredited. But it's just kind of a personal thing. If you find that there are programs that just absolutely meet your need, go for it. Just be discerning. Look at the classes. Look at the teachers. You know, go in with your eyes open. Now, I want to encourage everyone to study the Bible as deeply as possible. It's just like in Hebrews. The writer Hebrews was saying, look, you guys ought to be teachers by now, but I still have to teach you the milk of the word. The whole purpose of growing, of learning, is so that we can learn to behave like God wants us to. The more we know about His word, the more equipment we have to help us do that. So, that being the case, I definitely want to encourage you to reach out and study. Now, there's many other sources out there. Be discerning. Know where these people come from. And by the way, there's some pretty good pastors out there that don't have any degrees, that are pastors of big churches and jazz, that teach a lot of classes. Is there anything inherently wrong with studying under one of those guys, taking a class from them? Not necessarily. Let me just say that they're harder to check out in some ways, because unless you know where they got their information from, it's kind of hard to figure out where they're going with some stuff. And some guys might start, and by guys I mean pastors, teachers, whatever, may start really, look like they're tracking the Bible just line by line, and then all of a sudden, poof, they're off into stratosphere, and then they, before you know it, they tell you an alien gave us a book of the Bible or something. So, again, discernment. Check them out. Look at what kind of information you got. See what kind of history they have. Because more often than not, I really want to know, if I'm with a teacher, where they learn their stuff, where they learn the discipline of study. And I think that's one thing that organized programs from seminaries, colleges, Bible schools can help you with, is discipline of study. Because studying is a discipline, and it's done a certain way if you can do it right. It's a building process. So, with that thought process in mind, again, want to encourage you, if you cannot find a teacher, and you're just, you can't find a church that's got a good teacher in it, and you really feel like you have to, and you feel like you're going to have to go rogue and try to get this information yourself, you can get it through books. You can get it through the internet, but please be discerning. All right? And that goes, listening to me too. All right? Check out the stuff that I'm saying. Check it out. Because there's no teacher on this planet that should not be examined for what they're teaching. That's just the honest truth. In fact, God makes it very clear in the Word that teachers are held to a higher standard. So, you mess somebody up, God's going to take it out of your, take it out of your hide as a teacher. So, I take that very seriously. Anyway, I want to encourage you to keep on keeping on and speaking it on.
Speak it on. And as always, don't be afraid to speak the Word in boldness and truth. And may God bless all of your life.